Happy Friday, 204. Wheels, you had this on the show sheet last week, and I don't think we talked about it, but I find it really interesting. Being a former soccer player, USA is playing Australia right now.
Yeah.
Just 4 minutes in. If anyone scores, we'll let you know. But forever, people have said, why aren't we a soccer power? We're a big nation, and we're obsessed with sports. We have these amazing athletes, and yet we're never in the top tier. And people, well, you know, kids are born playing soccer in England and here and there. And, you know, we tend to play football, baseball, what have you. But you were talking about that if suddenly every athlete in America had started playing soccer, we would, like, rule the world.
Yeah, I would think that is just common sense, right? I mean, it's the numbers game. It's not about athletes are better in the U.S. We have 350 million people. You know, they don't have that in England. They don't have that in France. So if you had all of the top talent that played team sports, if you had all of the NFL talent, all of the NBA talent, all the baseball players, all of those people were choosing soccer first, well, then the United States would be a power. It's just common. And that's, you know, it's one of the reasons why I think a lot of our hand-wringing is a little unfair in one degree. Every other country in the world is putting their very best athletes on this, and they're playing soccer. There are some exceptions, right? Parts of the world love baseball more than soccer, but not many. Some parts of the world like basketball more, but not many, right? It's not that common. And to be elite at any sport, it's got to be something you are in from the beginning. You're not just going to pick it up. And for a country, like, this was a debate because there were some international players that were saying, that's BS, it's nonsense. But it's not. Imagine guys like LeBron James, but they're soccer
goal.
Players.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, like, an athlete like that with that size, that quickness, that agility. It other countries have that, but those other countries have those guys, their very best, they're playing soccer. Our very best are playing football, basketball, baseball, and hockey because there's more money in it in our country. That's where the scholarships are. And there are soccer scholarships, but that's where the money is. That's where the careers are. MLS is big, but MLS is still relatively new when you compare to Major League Baseball, the NBA, NFL. And culturally, those are our preferred sports in part because they're ours. North America, hockey is the birthplace. You know, North America is the birthplace of hockey, Canada specifically, but we're the neighbor. We've been playing, we've been in that sport from the beginning as a nation. And even there, you look at the Canadian national team versus the U.S. national team. Look at the difference. Canadian team, every time you're like, oh my God, how do you beat them? And not to say, I mean, the U.S. team sometimes does. I mean, we're up there, but like we have more people and they still beat us because we have more athletes playing football, basketball, baseball, soccer, golf. Track and field, all of those things.
Yeah.
What would it take for a new sport to be invented and to have it actually catch on and start making money?
It would have to be, that's the thing, is it would have to be something that captures the attention of the public to the point that it's making the same kind of revenue that the NBA and NFL and Major League Baseball do, which is a hard thing to do when you're first breaking in.
Yeah.
It takes a long time. And it's not that. The argument isn't about like America's athletes are superior. That's not it. It's a numbers game. It's entirely math. And the guy I saw who made this point made a really good point. How does the U.S. women's soccer team do?
Very well.
Dominant, right? Because more of the elite athletes that are women in the United States play soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is no NFL.
Mm-hmm.
There's a WNBA, but it's not a big league, right? There is softball, but it's not like Major League Baseball. There's no equivalent on the women's side to this $13 billion a year business where you can get $300 million contracts. There is more of that in soccer. So the United States has a lot of the elite female athletes playing soccer, and they dominate. I think that's a pretty good example of what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Like they are every year the favorite for gold, favorites for the World Cup. Not that they never lose, but they're the favorite every year. And it's partly like that's an illustration of what we're talking about.
You know what I increasingly can't take in soccer. And I played soccer, never at a high level. I played in high school. The flopping.
Ugh.
Oh, they're the worst.
Dude.
It's just so. And see, here's the thing. I don't know if that's the European style or something.
It's the world.
But when I played soccer, had I done that, my coach would have benched me.
Yeah, not anymore.
Not anymore.
Because that's the way it's played at the highest level. U.S. guys do it. And to be clear, I hate that in every sport. I hate it when hockey players embellish penalties. I hate it. There's a reason there's a penalty for that in hockey. If the referee thinks you're embellishing, you're getting a penalty. I hate it in the NFL and in college football where a team is on a drive and a guy pretends to be hurt to stop the play. I hate that. To me, it should be an automatic ejection. If you are going to fake an injury, you're done. You're out. You are leaving the game. I don't like in baseball when batters pretend they got hit by a pitch. I hate it. But it's just so in your face in soccer. I was watching the other day. This is what had me put this on the sheet. I was in our kitchen getting some ice, and the soccer match was on. I think it was South Africa and the Czech Republic. I think that's who it was. And there are two players just standing next to each other. And the guy from South Africa takes his hand and he just backhand smacks the Czech player in the thigh. And the guy crumples to the ground like he was shot. And he's rolling around holding his leg like it's broken. What are you doing? How are you not embarrassed by that? The guy tapped you. And there was a play earlier in the World Cup where a player faked an injury. The other player never touched him. Never touched him. But he tripped, so he pretended he was hurt so he could draw a foul. To me, red card immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately. It should be reviewed on video. And if it is seen that you're faking it, you're done. You're out of the game. See you later.
USA, every sport. USA just scored a goal.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Australia is favored.
Yep. Well, Pulisic's not playing. That just came out about 2 hours ago.
Yeah. So, 1-0.
Yep. Good deal.
So, Rach, people are wearing diapers to concerts?
What? Apparently so. Apparently this is a thing that people
thought
do.
I was the only one.
So, Olivia Rodrigo, I think that's her name, right? Does that sound right?
Sounds right.
The young lady.
Mm-hmm.
She talks about when she's doing a concert and you're in the front row and you're wearing a diaper, she can smell it.
Gah.
So, I guess people do that.
Why?
I guess so they can keep their spot in the pit.
I go in the pit. I've never worn a diaper.
Yeah.
Those are two big statements.
Like, they'll let you go back, you know?
I don't know. Probably not at, like, her show, you know?
I mean, but, like, nobody... I mean, people leave all the time to go get drinks, to go get beers, to go get whatever. If you're going to get drinks and beers, why can't you go to the bathroom, too?
Isn't everyone at the ball drop New Year's Eve wearing diapers?
Oh, yeah. If that's what you're going to do, there's something wrong with
you. Someone please explain to me why that is fun. It's cold. First of all, it's very cold. You can't go to the bathroom. You're paying probably $25 per drink that you're buying that night.
And you're surrounded by a bunch of drunken idiots.
Yes. Why are you doing...
Who are also have poopy pants.
Right. To watch a ball drop...
Dude.
Then nothing happened. Watch it at home on your
also,
nice cozy couch.
Like, let's say you're going to a concert. How long is a long concert? Irregular. Now, I'm not talking about a music festival. I'm just talking about a concert.
Like two hours or 3 hours.
If you
tops.
Can't hang on for 3 hours, and you're again, you're at an Olivia Rodrigo concert, you're probably not old. You're probably on the younger side. You should probably be able to hold out. And if you can't, then you go and then you come back. Because you know what? A friend will hold your spot for you if you're down there in the pit.
I was real surprised, though, because... I assume she plays stadiums and stuff.
Probably.
Don't you have a seat down in front?
Usually, no. Usually, I don't know about pop shows, but like every rock concert, the very, very front is always standing.
Okay.
General admission, standing room, pit, something or other. Again, it only evolves into a pit if it's the right kind of music, but it's just that's where you are. And then the seats are just behind that. I can't speak for a pop star's concert because I've never been.
Oh, she's saying it's like certain festivals.
Oh, yeah.
It's much more common.
Yeah. And the same idea holds true. If you're there, you're probably there with at least one friend, right?
I would hope.
I mean, most of that. Not 100%.
I got my diaper on and I have no friends.
I've gone to concerts solo. It's not an abnormal thing.
Oh, no.
But
if you're wearing a
most
diaper.
Of the time, you're with somebody. Mm-hmm. Most of the time. So if one of you has to, I don't know, empty the tank. The other person can stay there and keep your spot for you. And nobody's going to be upset about that. It's going to be okay. That happens literally every show.
I'm telling you something. They could dig up the Beatles and put them on stage, and they could do a reunion concert. I would pay a lot of money. I would not stand in a poopy diaper.
No, I would not. No, I would not. Or, I honestly, forget the poopy diaper. I wouldn't wear a diaper just to be in it. That's just stupid. Just go to the bathroom.
Oh, you mean you wouldn't even wear a dry diaper?
I mean, I wouldn't.
Well, why would you wear a diaper if you're not going to go in it?
I don't, yeah. I'm not sure a lot of them are probably not crapping their pants. They're probably using it more just to pee in. I wouldn't do that either. It's not like that makes it better.
A little better.
You're not an 8-month-old.
Yeah, and it just doesn't, I mean, don't you want to change that right away? But they're not really designed to, like, guess what? You can go all day.
It's where you diaper rash.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think the folks, I don't know, maybe this is the genesis of it. You think they were wearing diapers at Woodstock?
No.
Nah, they're probably just going.
They probably
right
just didn't
there.
Care.
Yeah,
just
going.
Dropping trowel and going right there, yeah.
Did you guys see that they pulled the Waymos off the road?
Here in St. Louis?
I think everywhere.
Really?
Why?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Because they had to admit that they have no technology to avoid construction zones. They don't clock it. And so they keep driving into construction zones and getting the people in trouble and blocking traffic at construction zones. So they pulled them off the streets and they're trying to retool it and figure out how to do
Ooh,
it better.
Wow. I just pulled that up. It's a Wall Street Journal story.
That seems like it would be, you know, I don't work for Waymo, but if I had a list of things I wanted to make sure before we put the self-driving cars right. on the road, I think I would have maybe had construction zone on the list.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's just me.
It's just
pretty common thing.
To me, this idea is not, it's not, we're not ready for it. Even if the technology is ready, it's not going to work with unpredictable human drivers surrounding the Waymo. It's just not.
I agree. I've been saying for years, either one will work.
Yeah.
We can keep doing this.
Yeah.
Or we can all get in a driverless car, but it's just not going to mix well.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. I searched Waymo on Twitter, and I'm just finding a video now from April of a Waymo pulling into the middle of an intersection that's closed off because of a police standoff.
Yeah.
There's a guy on the ground. The police have their guns drawn, and the Waymo just goes right through it because it doesn't know any better.
Right.
How could it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bad idea.
Welcome back. DGS on KMOX. USA is up 1-0 over Australia. We'll let you know if anyone else scores. Speaking of sports, what's the maximum number of kindergartners you are confident you could beat up at the same time before you are overpowered?
All of them.
You're in a room, closed off.
Well, they're tiny.
To win, they all have to be on the ground. As long as one of them is up still trying to fight, you're not done.
I guess 10.
Reasonable.
All of them. And I got to take very much to put down on the ground.
Yeah, but to have all of them on the ground at once, you know they're going to keep popping up.
You ever seen a kindergartner like get hurt or get hit by another kid? They immediately collapse to the ground and lay there crying.
Yeah, but it's not going to be like in the movies where they wait to attack you one by one. They're all going to be coming for you at the same time. Fine.
Like crabs.
That's fine. Only about 4 or 5 of them could get up to you at any one time.
You're like the gorilla.
Yeah, kind of. Actually, that's probably how it is. A grown person, a grown man, that would be like a gorilla against the dudes.
What's the scenario that
And also, they would be, like, what's their mentality? Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Are they zombie kindergartners?
Why is this happening?
I know.
Why are we mad at each other, me and the kindergartners?
Yeah.
Well, it came from something that happened to me in real life. I was really? Once jumped by 17 kindergartners, and I just ran.
And, oh, okay. So I say, you could always do that, too.
I mean, how many
Because they're
think
not going to be very
do,
fast.
Dave?
I could do a lot. I don't think I'm as confident as my friend Wheels. Like, one could bite my ankle, and I could bend over, and then one kicks me in the nuts. You know, things happen.
They can't kick that high.
How high are my nuts?
I don't know, but they're 5 years old. They're not very tall. I mean, they might punch you in the nuts. Boys that age are really big fans of the cheap shot. They know how to put their dads down if they need to. But, like, if you're in a fighting position, you know, you could probably defend yourself.
So you could take 100 of them.
I don't know, but I wouldn't be worried about it. Hey, I mean, Wheels, I might gas out at some point.
Wheels, you nervous about your fight with the 100 kindergartners later? No.
No.
Why would I be worried?
Not even thinking about it.
I mean, are there any rules?
No.
Like, are they allowed to bite?
Sure.
Well, then I'm getting even meaner.
You gonna bite them?
No. They're too short. I can put myself out of balance.
That would be impractical, yeah.
He just kicks and punches. Spins. Rolls. Maybe a couple jumps.
Spins.
A couple of Jean-Claude Van Damme moves.
He's spinning. Rachel, do you some fast food news?
I would love to. Okay, I want to start by telling you guys about a new item at Freddy's. Freddy's Frozen Custard and Steak Burgers. All of us big fans of Freddy's.
Yeah.
Well, they have launched these new steak burger bowls, chicken bowls, and veggie burger bowls.
All right.
Steak burger bowls.
That sounds amazing. What's in it?
Okay, so the steak burger bowl, you get two steak burger patties, diced tomatoes, diced onions, chopped bacon, Monterey Jack, and cheddar cheeses served on a bed of romaine lettuce.
Boom, that's awesome.
Gross.
Oh, Dave, it's so good.
Gross.
I'm more with Dave. Now, this does sound good if I were to like make it at home or something, but if I'm going to Freddy's, I just want a burger and fries and possibly a turtle sundae as part of my meal. I don't
so you
go
make
to
room
Freddy's
for the sundae
a weird salad.
By getting rid of the bread for the lettuce.
Isn't this what Tony Colombo used to eat all the time on keto?
He would go to McDonald's and get a couple triple cheeseburgers and put the patties in a bowl and eat that.
Yeah.
Dude, I've done this
that
at
a
home.
Times,
it's
pretty good.
And
it's
what?
Good. I've done this at home. It's good. You make a big old burger, like a half pound burger, and then you just throw some lettuce under it. Little cheese. You can go like burger style if you want, like ketchup and mustard. You can go barbecue sauce. You could go Thousand Island dressing if you want to go that. There's a lot of ways. It's awesome.
You say ketchup?
Ketchup and mustard on a burger.
On lettuce?
You put lettuce on a burger, right?
I know, but it's different.
It is different.
Yeah,
then it's like the dressing, and that's gross.
You don't put that much on. You put enough to cover the burger and stuff, and then the lettuce is there. It all kind of blends together. It's good, dude. I'm telling you.
Have you noticed this with Wheels? Whether it's eating burgers out of a bowl or fighting kindergartners, he very quickly gets to this point. Well, if you're just gonna, he's just like frustrated.
He's confident in his position.
Even bringing this up,
it's good. I'm telling you, you guys are like crapping on it. You never even done it.
How many kindergartners could you kick their ass while eating a bowl of burgers?
Same number.
I wish I had half the confidence. Guys, DGS on KMOX. Happy Friday to you. Happy Juneteenth. Happy early Father's Day. 2:34, time to talk to our pal Bernie Miklas. Hello, Bern.
Good afternoon, Dave Glover and crew. How's everything?
Everything's good, man. Great to talk to you as always. I almost texted you guys last night because I was watching the game. And I got a text from a buddy who knows baseball not quite as well as I do, but, you know, he's on like my level, not on your level. And he said, man, Glove, can you believe Liberatore just out of nowhere is imploding? And I didn't say it, but I thought, I'm going to check with my boys tomorrow. I'm not sure it's out of nowhere. Bern, how did that hit you?
It's not out of nowhere. I mean, he's been, his first two starts of the year really good. And it's been really bad since then, and it's getting progressively worse. You know, his ERA in June is like 10.45. His previous seven starts, it's including June, it's like 7.82. You go back to early April, it's 5-something. And the thing about it is, you know, he used to be able to have a really good curveball, would give hitters trouble, slider to an extent as well, but I was looking like in his last seven or eight starts, like I was looking at the metrics, every single variety of pitch he throws is negative. It's minus, it's below average. So I think they need to get him out of the rotation. And I'm not saying that to be cruel. I'm saying that because he wasn't all that good to begin with. And it's just getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And when you don't have anything in your toolbox that's a plus pitch, how are you supposed to get out of this? I think the car needs to go into the shop for an overhaul. And again, I'm not saying that to be mean. If they want to try to put him in the bullpen, they should do that. And he was good in the bullpen 2 years ago. But he does have an option left. He could go down to Memphis and try to regroup there. But the more he pitches, the more of a burden it becomes on your bullpen. And I don't see why you should go out of your way to do things to, you know, take care of Libitor. Oh, we can't send him to the bullpen. Oh, we can't send him down. Well, is that fair to the guys in the bullpen? Is that fair to your team when you have other – is that fair to guys that by now deserve a shot to be in the rotation, like Hunter Dobbins and Quinn Matthews? So that's my position. I really – that sums it up. I don't know that I have any more to add.
I share your position, and I'll bring – I'm gonna go Bernie style. I got the numbers to throw in here.
Oh, we don't need many numbers
so
on this one.
Since July 1st of last year, so now we're almost 6 months, which is almost a full season. So if any pitcher that's thrown 130 innings since July 1st of last year, only one player has a higher average exit velocity against them than Matthew Libertor. One. He's got, I believe, the fourth worst ERA in that time, actual ERA. I think it's the second worst expected ERA. It's the fourth worst fielding independent ERA in all of baseball since July 1st of anybody that's worked as much as he has. And I don't see how this is any different than Nolan Gorman. How is this any different? They're the same age, same experience, same major league service time, same level of struggle. Gorman's in Memphis. I don't see why it's illogical to say that Libertor should be there too.
There's no question about it. And one of the other points I'll make here, and this is in a video that I did. It's online now, I think. You know, when we look at Libertor, we tend to think, well, he's young. And yeah, he's 26 compared to me, even compared to Wheeler. That's young. But the dude, you know, he's pitched in like 135 major league games. He's thrown over 400 innings. And I looked this up today because I was curious. Frankly, I was just reliving some of the bad left-handers I've watched since the late 80s. No, in a Cardinal uniform.
Oh,
I'm serious.
Yeah.
And there's only like three or four left-handed pitchers since the late 80s who have started more games or pitched more innings for the Cardinals than Matthew Libitor. My point being is like he has been given his chance.
Yeah.
What about the other people that are waiting in line who I guarantee you are better than him? How long do they have to wait? How many times are you going to wreck your bullpen and then have another Minnesota series? It defies all logic.
Yeah.
So.
It does. And there's no, I understand that the team's hope is what will happen with him is what happened with Andre Pallante from last year to this year. But Pallante had showed us before last year that he was capable of this. 2024, he was like he is now. So there was already a precedent for this is what Pallante can be. This is not that. Libertor has no precedent like that as a starting pitcher.
Well, also Pallante had all of he had all of last offseason and spring training to work on it.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, in other words, they gave him say this is what you got to do.
Yep.
You know, we think this will help. We got to throw this pitch more, throw that pitch less. You got to throw more first strikes. You got to be more aggressive. You got to attack the zone. They gave him a list of things he had to work on, and he worked on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say it would be best to get Libertor in the garage.
Yep.
Send him down to Memphis, where all those great instructors, Larry Day, all that technology. Get him out of the fire, and try to rebuild him.
Yep.
You know. I sometimes I simply don't understand the way the Cardinals think about certain things. Victor Scott can't hit. All right, send him to Memphis. Yeah, smart. Thank you. Nolan Gorman. Futile. It's futile right now. He's lost. We feel bad for him. We feel compassion. Let's get him out of the fire and let's get him into the garage, as they say. It's actually a hitting lab. And let's try to rebuild him. Well, why in the heck don't you apply the same standard to Matthew Libitor? And I like Matthew Libitor.
Of course.
We're all rooting for him. What the heck is different?
Nothing.
I mean, those guys have at least really in their careers actually showed you something where, you know, you would go, wow. I don't recall many wow moments here, right? Yeah. I'm sorry. I wish it yeah. was working out better.
So this may be a really dumb thought, but I know you can bring a guy up too quickly, obviously. I think a lot of us think that happened to Jordan Walker. He's turned it around in spite of it, but I think maybe we think he's a little mismanaged. Is the opposite true? Can you sometimes leave a guy like maybe Quinn Matthews in AAA too long?
Well, It's interesting you ask that because I kind of wanted to go on a discovery mission with him today, and I found out some things. But his stuff for the last four starts is just absolutely nasty, except mm-hmm. for one thing. He's still having a hard time with his command. He's yep. still walking too many hitters, and that's not a good thing. You do that in the major leagues, you're going to be in trouble. But what's happened down there is his slider. You know, he's kind of known as like the changeup guy, the curveball guy. His slider has been phenomenal. I mean, he's got like his last four starts, his strikeout rate on the slider is like the strikeout rate on the slider is like 48%. Swing and miss is like 55%. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So he's now got a huge weapon that he's added to his arsenal. And I got to think he's really close if he's not ready now. He's got great stuff, just great stuff. Yeah. You'd like to just see the fewer walks. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, and look, Hunter Dobbins is ready.
Well, yeah.
He's major league caliber. By the way, he started yesterday, so he's on the same schedule as Libertor too. So it would be an easy switcheroo.
And went, you know, your minor league pitcher of the year, Bryson Mox.
Yeah, yeah.
Last year. You know, this is one thing that drives me nuts about all sports teams, not just the Cardinals. They'll, you know, whether it's football training camp, hockey training camp, baseball training camp, whatever, they'll sit there, you know, the coach or the manager or assistant coach, they'll sit there and talk about this. Oh, man, this guy, wow, what a talent. He's worked so hard. Man, we look forward. We really look forward to, you know, him helping this team this year. They say that stuff all the time. And then when they have not one, but they have two pitchers in their rotation, 40% of their rotation are two guys that struggle and do not give you innings. Well, where's all this heavy praise? Where's all this glory be to Bryson Mott's? And if they're that good, where are they then?
I mean, it's a great question, and again, it's just applying the same logic that they have on four or five different positions this year.
Right.
You get to a point we're almost into July. Like, it's one thing if you're talking April, even mid-May. Like, hey, we can be patient a little bit. You get into June, and now we're getting into later June. We've already seen the precedent. This should be no different if you're being consistent.
Hey, Wheels, in my video today, I name checked you.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
And I said, my friend and colleague at KMOX.
Nice.
Because when I was looking around, this was your thing. And I left Miles Michaelis out of it, but this is your thing. I looked at it's because I was curious. And Libertor has a 5.23 ERA. Eric Fetty's ERA last year was 5.22.
Yep.
He's Eric Fetty.
Yep.
Except he's left-handed.
Yeah. And the thing is that, like, we're also talking about what's best for the player and his long-term, too. Him going out there and getting rocked because he does not have the fastball command and he does not have the command of his breaking stuff to be successful right now. He's savable, he's salvageable, but continuing to do this at the major league level is not helping him, and it hurts the team. And that's it. Exactly. Like, I want the guy to be good, but he's not capable of doing this particular job at this particular moment.
Yeah, well, it just gets down to what's the point, right?
Yeah.
Guys, just to let you know, USA just scored their second goal against Australia.
Right. How do you know?
What do you know?
I'm not watching it. I'm monitoring. I'm hoping to watch it tonight if I can stay up enough. But if I don't do that, I'm going to watch it tomorrow morning.
Nice.
But if they win, they're into the knockout round. And then if Turkey loses tonight, they win the group. If they provided they hold on and win this.
Right. Yeah.
But you know what I love about this team so far? You know, listen, I love watching the USA soccer play. I do. Live and die with it every time the World Cup rolls around, Copa America rolls around, things like that. But I also have to say, I always wondered why they're so timid on the pitch, where it's almost like they approach these World Cup games in the past for a long time as if like, well, we're not good enough to beat these teams straight up. So we're going to go into a shell and we're going to play it safe and we're going to be cautious and we're not going to attack. And oh, be careful, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, you know. Don't do anything crazy, you know. And that you watch that same game over and over and over again, and you see what great athletes they have, and how fast they are, and how they've grown the national program. And you're like, when are they going to just say, you know what? Screw it.
Yeah.
Let's attack this team and go.
Yeah.
Okay. This coach that they hired, the Argentine that they coached, he has set them free. Finally. They've had like 13,000 coaches, and this is the first guy that says, you know, fellas, you guys are really good. Let's go attack these guys. We'll beat them. You got to believe in yourself. Let's be ruthless. Let's go. This is the first time in my lifetime I have seen this from Team USA.
Bern, we're late again, but I just have one quick question for you. Are you like this in life? Like, are you like, pork chops? No. I can't believe it's pork chops again.
No, not at all. Not at all. And I swear to you, not at all. I get wound up with you guys, man.
I love
you know,
it.
I do.
I love it.
No, I'm at home. I'm like the quietest person in the face of the earth.
I love it. Tell us about Sling Burn.
My wife's always asking me, what's wrong? Are you okay?
So... You need to show her the other Bernie.
Yeah, she'll be.
That's why he can't sing anymore. Don't mind us. We're just talking about lead singers.
Yeah.
A couple of fun facts. I thought this was very fun. Sled dogs wear mascara to help cut down the glare of the sun.
Oh,
that's
so cute. It's like eye black, like for athletes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you thought maybe it's Maybelline, you'd be right. According to one musher, they often use a simple waterproof Maybelline mascara.
Man, that's one tough musher.
I want to put mascara on the sleigh dog.
What a strange sentence.
The sleigh dog.
Wait, sled dog. Yeah.
It's okay. It's funny.
They can do a sleigh.
I like
too.
It that way better because they could pull. Hey, dogs could pull Santa's
it's
sleigh.
Like sleigh.
Yeah.
Sleigh dog.
Yeah.
With
sleigh dog.
You
just put a comma in there.
Exactly.
Sleigh dog.
This next story hits a little close to home for me. A study from the University of Calgary found that cannabis exposures causes rats to continue eating even when they are full.
They've got the munchies.
That's right.
I mean, does that surprise anybody?
Yeah, did we really even need a test?
I think you could have just, looks like cannabis works on rats.
I think you could have just asked a whole bunch of people, and they would be like, yep.
If God is a rat or a monkey, we are screwed.
Or a rabbit.
Or a cow.
Oh, man.
Just screwed.
It's just over.
You kidding me? Oh, man. We didn't talk much about the president today. We'll talk a little bit about it in the next segment because we have Alvin Reed coming up. But Iran are not good guys. They're one of their biggest pop stars, a female, beautiful young 29-year-old woman. They just found footage of one of her live performances from 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they have sentenced her and her entire staff to 74 lashes because she performed without a burqa.